first of all my name, I'm Felipe Ramos. It's quite difficult even for me to define what I do, because I would tend to say that I'm an art critic who is interested in developing projects and not so much related to curating of objects, but more related to the curating of thinking. Engage in different sorts of projects in which the most important thing is thinking and the production of knowledge and the generation of ideas.
And this is what our conversation is going to be about. On ideas, on curating, on interacting, on canon, on documenting, and obviously on Felipe Ramos' curatorial research, which is related to the production of knowledge more than objects.
Nowadays is almost an act of resistance, because you finally, with all the necessity to create and generate the profession of the curator, you finally have a large amount of curators and of young curators, and the system exploded, and we have an explosion of exhibitions, of artists, of mediators, of people who want to do exhibitions and who want to be in between artists and institutions, from commercial institutions to non-profit institutions to private, public, whatever. And but most of these processes are very much related to the production or to the managing or to the curating of things, and things being objects, but things being also magazines, newspapers, books, whatever. And I think there are some people out there who understand very well that we also need to slow things down and to don't do that much, but to enhance thinking and to enhance the production of ideas without any scope other than that. And I think it's very curious, and above all, at least my recent experience is that I've been achieving a lot more just from talking to people, to making people talk, or to putting people together who talk, have something to say, and who forcing dialogues or forcing conversations, than just reflecting on the potentialities that objects have to relate to each other. I think it's a lot more interesting to pushing and to making people talk and to making people say things. And so, yes, somehow we're going back to a less material side of things and more to how ideas are transmitted and orally transmitted as well.
Being a person that put her interest in relations, dialogue, and in enhancing interactions of people and ideas, it came natural to ask Felipe Ramos what is her view on digital interactions.
I will try to answer to that without sounding like a reactionary. Because what happens, I think that if we think about the big changes in communication and in media, obviously, we need to accept that nowadays we spend more time communicating than thinking, or than relating to each other in a different way. We spend more time answering emails, SMSs, or talking on the phone than doing anything else. And that changed a lot, because I think people started to be present in many different situations at the same time, and started to be able of thinking of many different things simultaneously. It's funny, because I didn't know, the other day I was reading a definition of stress, and apparently the human being has the capacity to think of 8 things at the same time. And above that, like now I'm talking with you and I'm thinking that at 5 I have to meet that other person, and then I'm thinking that I should have eaten something, and I'm thinking that I need to arrange the keys for the hotel. But if I have more than 8 thoughts at the same time, I'm in stress. And I think emails and new technologies enhanced our stress. So suddenly, first of all, we're more stressed and we're doing more things at the same time, which is great, because we could never have done so many things as we do now, and there's so many projects that did not exist without the development of the media. But what happens is that time has accelerated a lot, and everything has to be fast. And so for me, sometimes it's quite. That's why I say I sound like a reactionary, because I miss having slowness, and I try to push slowness to force it and force it to come back. But on the other hand, it is obvious that things in a certain way became a lot more democratic, because you can do good quality things, you can show the world that you write well, for example, or that you do good works, because you have platforms that are completely free and that allow you to express yourself differently.
Filippa was the associate editor of the Manifesta Journal in a series of editions that reflected on curatorial practices and in their in-depth meanings. So, what's the role of the curator, according to her?
The activity of the curator changed, and many curators are digital portfolio curators. So, you don't have to do studio visits anymore, because you have a PDF that you download, or you go to the website of this artist and you see the work. And that changed a lot. And I think the curator has a very important responsibility, which is, once again, because the curator at the end is a mediator, someone who's in the middle of two things. It's a profession that needs very unfair skills, because there are skills that you cannot produce them. You have to have a certain sensibility, you have to have intelligence, you have to know how to put things together. And the curator has the important role of being able of getting the best of these digital media and being able to process it and present it to the others in through his own vision, no? The Manifesto Journal, more than curating curatorial ideas, I think we're trying very hard to think differently about curatorship. And think differently means think without focusing on the themes of the moment, with just thinking of more general themes, not so much the precise theme, like the relation with the old or appropriation or new ways of doing exhibitions or displays, but thinking like, for example, what could be the canon of curating, or what do we mean when we talk about curatorial ethics? But Manifesto Journal is also very, very particular, because it's a very small, very slow, once again, initiative in which all the contributors change completely from one number to the other. Somehow we're also kind of counter mainstream curatorial culture, I would say. And I think that's important somehow. When I was in like second year of art school, I remember I read an interview with Malevich, and it was a very silly interview, but I was very interested in abstraction, so I read it. It was a translation from a Russian interview, so I don't even know if the translation was accurate, but it was interesting, because at a certain point the journalist asked Malevich, but what is your relation with the real? Because your paintings do not represent the real, they don't represent anything. And Malevich answered that, well, you can have a very figurative painting, you can have a painting of an annunciation, for example, and you have an angel there, and you recognize it as an angel, and you recognize that representation, that figure, but my black squares or whatever I do are far more real than that figure. And I remember that was very illuminating for me. It's very funny how when you are starting to relate to a certain area, as I was to art history, there are some key moments that really define where you're going and what you'd be looking for. But I'm saying this because I was always very much more interested in what is not obvious and not concrete and not evident at the first gaze than with that. And the relation with the immaterial can be very frustrating because I realized that many wonderful talks and dialogues and experiences end up there. And it's almost as if I was very selfish because I'm only interested in having those inputs, and then sometimes it's difficult to process them in something that remains, or that remains more than a presence of something that was done. But I think the material remains in ideas, in influences, and maybe it's the I would almost say that it's the unmaterial that forms the canon, talking about the canon, because the canon at the end is nothing than the recognition of something that we don't understand what it is. It's not rules because they're not written. It's not objects because objects are not canonical. It's about processes and ideas and ways of relating to people and relating to places and doing things. So I relate to the material in a very optimistic way, in the way that I think that it is what passes and what we all share. How do we keep trace of relations? I would love to have an answer to that question because I asked myself that question many times. I thought about that quite seriously because a couple of years ago, Performa in New York, together with a big commercial gallery, they organized what they called a retrospective of Alan Kaprow's happenings. And it didn't make any sense to me because how do you do a retrospective of, well, as the name says, of happenings, of things that were created in a certain context, in a certain moment, in a specific place that in that time had a specific connotation with people who were thinking about things in a different way. And from that, I felt the necessity of going back to gathering people and collecting memory. And for me, it would make sense to do a retrospective of Kaprow by trying to put together the people who took part in those happenings, and to put them together and to put them to talk and to tell what they remember, what they shared, how it was, what did they felt when they saw those places for the first time, when they came to places expecting to see objects and to see an exhibition, and instead they were invited or almost obliged to have a more active role because they were being part of something. And so I think that a very important way of conserving the material is exactly by preserving memory and forcing people who have a shared memory of a certain event to share what they saw, what they remember. And of course, it's almost like psychoanalyst therapy. If you're in a group, what one person says can make you talk about things that you didn't remember or that you could not remember, blah, blah, blah. And but then again, of course, time passes, people die. What happens? We cannot have a shared memory of something that happened in the 1920s, no? And so then documentation is produced, and then ideas are produced based on that documentation. And if we want to redo a historical exhibition, we need to rely on that because the people who were there to assist, they're not present anymore. So it's a, I don't know, it's a very complicated question. It's a very problematic question. But, and of course, in that sense, documentation starts playing a very important role. But I believe that it's about sharing things as long as we can. Share those memories that you collected in the more faithful way you can do. And I do believe that, going back to canon, if Hans Ulrich Obrist is such a canonical figure, despite 50% of the people from the curatorial world wanted to go over him and just kill the father somehow, and the other half recognizes his merit. But I think his biggest merit is that importance he gives to memory and to preserving memory and trying to interview very relevant figures for the production of culture of our days, and putting those interviews and giving word to that person, to those persons. We'll be right back.
was produced by Radio Papesse. If you'd like to support our work, please visit radiopapesse.org/sostieni.